These are beautiful sounds from the beautiful group they're called Yet. Yeah. And you can't guess right because you want to know where this favorite song comes from. Yes, it comes from your guest, the pastor himself. Pastor, Bujan.
Hey, Elder, I'm okay, man. How are you doing?
Ah, fantastic, man. I'm telling the listeners there that you came up with this fantastic, beautiful, beautiful song. But lovely, lovely, yes, lovely. It's a beautiful piece, by the way. Quite enjoyable. Yeah. I hope that you are enjoying it on these airwaves. I know that is stuff that you listen to, but at least you are listening it to your favorite Christian radio station today, eh?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
Just set me and put me in the mood. And they're called The King Will Come.
The King
Will Come. Yet. And, you know, in the lyrics, the lady pleads with God and says, don't give up on me yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Well, Mfundisi, let us get right to it. We are going to be concluding the discussion that we had this particular week. And of course, making sure that we get those nuggets, the juice out of, you know, the things that you have given us. And of course, you know, throughout this week, you've talked about a number of things, and we can agree that there's so much more to uncover into this precious gift of God. But today, you're going to be going over some of just the highlights and important points that we may have missed during this week together with you. So, so please let's go through that and tell us what is it that you think we may have missed in what we have covered this week.
Sure. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again, and may you please speak to us like you've done before. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dala, you know, before we get into that, I was listening when Pastor Mafura Malakalaka was on just a bit earlier.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to just comment and say she's one of the guys that she's one of the ladies that have a groundbreaking experience her tenure in the conference. I really want to commend her for the wonderful work that she has done. I speak now from experience in the past, way before her time. The department she's leading has been a very difficult department to lead by anybody. We've had pastors who are men who led, and it was a problem for them. Nobody actually wanted those departments, you know. And she has come in. She leads from a point of grace, you know. She leads from a point of love. She leads with passion. You can tell whenever she speaks, whenever she's doing programs and events and all of those things, that she leads with so much passion. And I want to really commend her for the work that she's doing. I want to also invite the listeners, please go to the event in March and experience this the kind of worship that is being set up. It's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit indeed, as young people would say. Definitely looking forward to that. So, yeah, let's go ahead.
Man, point of grace. This has been our discussion the whole week. And yesterday, I missed the last question that you were asking me. And I was looking forward to it. I just missed the last part of it. And so I wanted to check if we could maybe deal with that.
That's fine. That's all right.
As a point of the question is, though.
Pastor?
Do you remember what the question is, the one that we...
Let me think. You know, some of these questions, they come out as you are talking. Let me just quickly think, because I sometimes write some of these things down. I'm not sure,
no,
man.
No, it's fine. If you can't remember, it is okay.
Okay.
Let me do a brief rundown. You'll probably remember.
Yeah, probably.
A brief rundown. So we were dealing with what I decided to do as I got the invite from Bongi. I then decided to do a hypostatic union. What that means is how God comes from his godship mm-hmm. and comes down to our level, excuse me, as a point of our saving activity. He then puts that as part of it. He then comes down from a God level to our level. Job has this thing that he has a complaint that he has to God in chapter 9 of the book of Job, where he had been trying to explain to his friends that he didn't do anything to God. And in chapter 9, he in fact goes further to say, you know, you guys keep saying I must go to God and talk to him, but have you actually tried to have a conversation with this God? And then he explains to them that he's scary, he's majestic, he's too big, and like, it's not a figure or somebody that you will enjoy or even try to have a conversation with, because he's just too much. He's too big. And to God, to Job's credit, God proves that point in chapter 43 when God begins to ask Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I told the sea you can only come this far? Where were you when I created the Leviathan? Where were you? He talks about his majestic self. And Job had already told his friends in chapter 9 that God is a problem. He's this big. Now then Job comes to the end of chapter 9 and he says, all that I want, all that I really need is to have a mediator. If I could have a mediator between myself and God, then I could at least be comfortable that God will be able to hear me for me. And then, and right there, I look at the definition of a mediator, and I find that a mediator is somebody who can be able to see or to put themselves in the shoes of Job and put themselves in the shoes of God, and not rob one or the other, but to be able to stand in the middle between Job and between God, and bring the two together and merge the two together, and to be able to solidify that relationship. And when I looked at the term that is used as a mediator, I found that, oh, but maybe Job was actually prophesying about the future, because there comes somebody who is born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And that one who is born in Bethlehem happens to stand as in the feet, in the shoes of man and in the shoes of God. And then he is 100% man, yet 100% God. He stands as an advocate. He stands as a mediator. He went on the cross, and when he hung on that cross, he stood, he hung there so that there can be proof of his mediation process. We needed to have proof that in the process of his mediation, He did not throw us out. He did not leave humanity out. But he came so that humanity can have a mediator in him. But he also did not throw out the God part of the equation, because he came so that God can be able to see the value in humanity. And so the mediator, as Job had thought about it, came some couple of years later, couple of thousands years later, came through so that Job's desire could be fulfilled. Or maybe he was being prophetic, but the hypostatic union is that what that takes place at that point. Maybe let me then do a quick recap,
yeah.
Because we spoke about the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Garden of Eden, Adam is given the landlordship, and as he's given the landlordship together with Eve, then the devil, the deceiver, comes through and steals that landlordship. And when he steals the landlordship, Adam is then in trouble, because with the landlordship came a dress code that was the righteousness of God, the glory of God. The Shekinah glory was clothing Adam. And when he loses the landlordship and he goes into sin, God removes the Shekinah glory, not because he's ashamed of him, but as an act to protect Adam and his wife Eve, mm-hmm. so that they are not consumed by that Shekinah glory. And so I made another point that, you know, unfortunately a vegan Adam wanted a vegan solution to clothe himself. But the reality, and let me make this point here, the reality of the matter is this. You know God lives in all three time tenses, yeah. right? So God lives in the future. Right now, he's in the future. He's in the present. He's also in the past.
In the past.
So the reality of the reality of the matter comes here, where Jesus at the cross, they take off his clothes, and Adam is receiving clothes in the Garden of Eden. When the second Adam is losing his clothes to save the world, Adam is receiving clothes to save himself. When Jesus was being humiliated so that the world can receive mercy and grace, Adam was being restored. His humiliation was being restored so that he can see the mercy and the grace. Oh, but you know, there was a promise that was given that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of truth and evil, you will surely die. The second Adam needed to die on that cross so that the first Adam's life can be restored. And so when the lamb, you know, you spoke about the lion and the lamb earlier on in the week, in the Garden of Eden, the lamb is visible in the Old Testament. When the lamb was slain on the cross there 4,000 years later, it was the lamb that was slain in the Garden of Eden that was slain for the sin of Adam and Eve. And
lovely.
So the hypostatic union says that Jesus came down. He came down so that he can be able to deliver grace to us, love to us, mercy to us, to show us who he really is, that he loves us so much.
Beautiful. Futhisi, we're going to be, but please, if you may, just a little bit patient with us. We're just going to be it's exactly 4 o'clock now. It is time for the news. So can we just take the news? And shortly after the news, we're then going to come and conclude this thought.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Fantastic there. Well, there is, you have it, the Pastor Mulupa there. He is going to be quickly just holding fort until we just get through the news with Malvin Makichi.